Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 27th of February, recording at 9:16 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights on the week. And global stock markets, it hasn't been good. More of the same, with prices eroding support levels here and more indices hitting new lows. For the bear market to date. Long-dated government bonds, a softer tone for the most part, particularly in the U.S. long-dated treasuries. And in currencies, well, it was the week of some dollar strength and some yen weakness. And that's really been the main feature here this week. And in commodity markets, precious metals roared into the week but limped out with a correction underway. The exception to that would be platinum, which is quite firm in here right now. It came off earlier on, but 1077 here today, that's up $25. And what else to mention? The industrial metals and industrial commodities generally, some of them have been a bit firmer in here overall. And I think agricultural commodities, mixed bag, easier for the most part. Okay, so what's going on here? Oh, crude oil, I should mention. I did say that industrial commodities are mostly firmer, and crude oil has been steady this week. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, first, in terms of stock markets, confidence is very low. The bulls, and there are bulls out there, are extremely cautious and only willing to nibble on weakness. It's hardly surprising as to why this is the case, and that is that, as you certainly know, the news has remained diabolical. Today, for instance, the U.S. economy figures came through for the fourth quarter GDP, and that was down 6.2%. Which is the biggest decline since 1982, according to Bloomberg. Well, that rings a bell, because 1982 was a year of near record low valuations on Wall Street. And it also turned out to be a launch pad for the spectacular rally in stock markets that we saw peaking in 2000 or 2007, depending on how you wish to measure it. Now, back to the bad news, those GDP figures. We also have companies slashing dividends right, left, and center. General Electric in the U.S. today, for instance, slashing its dividend by 68%, trying to keep its top-line credit rating. I doubt that it will. If it isn't revised this quarter, it'll be revised in the second or third quarter, and it would be my guess. Corporate profits, usually surprising on the downside. So, not an environment that is likely to inspire the bulls, but just as we see the GDP being the lowest figure since 1982, could that spark a long-term rally? Well, valuations on Wall Street are nowhere near as low as they were in 1982. So that would seem very, very unlikely. In terms of technical action, these indices are breaking down. The S&P has joined the Dow in new low ground for this bear market. A number of the European markets have also fallen to new lows. The Asian markets and some of the resources producers, such as the same ones you've heard me mention before, Brazil, Chile, Colombia are putting in a better performance overall. But it's the Wall Street leash account that really counts, not least on the downside. And that does remain weak. So it's very much for the bears to, beg your pardon, it's very much for the bulls to prove if this is base formation development. Now, I wouldn't entirely write off that possibility because we don't know the extent of this decline that is occurring following these new lows. But suffice it to say, again, I'll repeat the point, it's for the bulls to prove. We would need to see some pretty good technical rebounds getting those indices that have broken downwards back up into their trading ranges, not just rallying back up to the underside of those trading ranges, but the number I keep repeating for the S&P, for instance, which is further away after today, is it would have to get back up above 880. Well, it's at 735 here on the close tonight. So there would be a lot to do. It's not impossible. And if we say, well, why is it not impossible as everything is broken down again, reaffirming the overall bear decline? Well, because we have these record low interest rates, we have the low commodity prices. Generally, we have all the big stimulus packages, and yes, it takes time for the low interest rates and stimulative packages to actually kick in, and they're chaotic and disorganized, and people say they're doing the wrong thing, and so on. But the overall background following what has been a big bear market decline already is not unfavorable. The confidence is not there. I think the liquidity is there, but people are happy to sit on it. And the bears are reasonably aggressive in here right now. Volatility is still on the higher side of average, but it's way below the volatility that we were seeing back in October and November. Mind you, that was really extreme volatility overall. But weigh it all up. And this is an environment in which we do need to be careful. It doesn't mean that there aren't opportunities in here. But as I've said repeatedly in these broadcasts, I think it would be a mistake to pay up for anything. Whenever I've paid up for anything in equities in this environment, I've promptly lost money. And when I have made money in equities, it's when I've bought when markets have been quite weak and then traded out in the rallies. But I have to state in all candor that that's been difficult, and I have struggled to break even. As a matter of fact, I don't think I have broken even on my equity trades here over the last few months. I'm probably a bit in the red on those overall. And for that reason, and also because I've mentioned that we were always likely to see a long convalescence, a lengthy bottoming out base building phase, in other words, I have not brought in any of my fairly substantial for me cash reserve. I'm quite happy to let that money sit in cash and watch. That's my just in case fund. And there are all kinds of just in case questions that these markets in this economic environment continue to pose. Again, that doesn't mean that we're without opportunities in these markets. It doesn't mean that there isn't value in these markets. I think the best value is in the commodity producers among global stock markets and also in the Asian markets. Not in Wall Street. I don't think the US valuations are attractive. And if some of the barns appear to be burning, I don't want to be running back into that environment. The US does remain, sadly, as I've said for the last 3 years or so, the epicenter of global economic risk. And I don't think that's going to change overnight. So Asia's valuations, bottom line, Asia's valuations are better than those of the U.S. And we are also comparing, if we compare growth rates, Asia comes out on top again. If we look at deficits, well, the U.S. and most of the European countries have far bigger deficits than the Asian countries, which are mainly in surpluses. The emerging markets, at any rate, are mainly in surpluses. Those countries have high savings rates. In the West, we generally have low savings rates, Germany excepted, perhaps Switzerland excepted. So I think that I feel it's clear to me where the better value actually lies. But bearing in mind the Wall Street leash effect, I'm in no hurry to move back in that quickly. I'd rather look elsewhere for activity, and there is plenty of activity elsewhere. But if someone took the view, well, I think these markets are cheap enough, some of them, and I want to start feeding money into the market on some sort of cost averaging basis, I would say that's not necessarily a bad plan at all. Just don't pay up for anything. Now, in terms of long-dated government bonds, we've seen quite a pickup in the yields of the U.S. 10 and particularly 30-year treasuries. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we didn't see the bottom in U.S. 10-year yields when they got down to almost 2%. Despite all the talk of quantitative easing and the Fed would be willing to step in to support these bonds, the yields are backing up. So I think the Fed will have to be more aggressive than it has been if it wants to keep those long-dated yields low. Don't like the fundamentals of these bonds. There's much too much supply. And I just think it's a matter of timing. I'm timing short positions. I haven't done anything in the sector, a little bit to my annoyance in terms of the U.S. treasuries. I'm somewhat tempted to short the Japanese government bonds, with Japan going back into actual deflation, and Japan is the one major economy that has had severe deflationary problems over the last couple of decades, as you know, or more, as you know. I'm in no rush to actually go in and short those long-dated contracts, particularly given some of the opportunities elsewhere. Well, what are those opportunities? Well, certainly precious metals, and they're in a corrective phase right now. I bought back my gold today, lower than where I got out, my gold futures, that is, lower than where I got out, but too soon as it turned out. But these are choppy markets in here. The strategy of buying them on weakness and then selling them out on rallies has paid. I still have some of my platinum position. I'm holding off silver, which is a dollar below where I got out, and looking again, I would add to precious metals positions on easing. In here, I think that the argument is very, very strong. Gold has certainly outperformed all the fiat currencies over the last 9 years, and I don't see why that isn't going to. I don't see why that should change. I have mentioned for years that gold was steadily being remonetized in the eyes of investors as representing a safe store of value and hard money. And it'll all be a fluctuating store of value. Thus, the try to buy it on the setbacks and let a bit of it out go. Let a bit of it go. In other words, take some profits on the rallies. So I think that looks extremely interesting, and I say not boastfully, but just to point out the opportunities that are here. This has been an extremely profitable area for me over the last few months, both at year end and in the first 2 months of this year, particularly this month. So I think there are attractive opportunities there. The opportunities aren't necessarily what people are most used to overall, but I think if we look at the global markets and say, well, the world's my oyster, where are the better opportunities? I'm trying to point those out, and again, precious metals being among them. Also in the commodities, I think industrial commodities have or present opportunities here, because most of them have fallen back below the marginal cost of production, leading to supply cuts. OPEC has been cutting supplies. Miners have been cutting supplies. So I think these markets, as Owen and I have been saying, are in a lengthy base building process. Now, that does present a baby steps trading environment. You never pay up, but if you buy on setbacks within the ranging patterns and lighten on rallies, that's not a bad tactic overall. So I think that those sectors look interesting. Not the agricultural commodities. Sugar has been about the best of those, but I think that they're generally more expensive than the industrial commodities. I think that's largely due to fashion and the rumors that the world was going to run out of food. But I think in terms of agricultural commodities, I'd rather be a seller on rallies than a buyer on dips. I haven't been tempted to do either for some weeks now. And in currencies, I think this is going to shape up as one of the most interesting areas. I feel that the charts do indicate that the Japanese yen has topped out. Most of us quote it the other way around, so many currencies are bottoming out against the Japanese yen. Now, why might that be the case? Because so many people have talked about the yen as a reserve currency. Well, it is a reserve currency. But the yen, until last month, had been really sort of a super strong currency from that July period onwards, as carry trades were unwound. The yen had been the leading carry trade currency because its interest rates have been low for so long. And that is having, has already had, a ruinous effect on the Japanese economy. As if the recession wasn't bad enough, you got a country that relies heavily on exports, and its export market is shrinking, and its currency is made Japanese exports less competitive. So that's a serious problem. It's one that's been acknowledged by the Japanese government, which has talked openly about getting the yen downwards. Now, for me, I've always said that happiness in Forex is when you get the central bank and the trend on the same side. And we've had the central bank on side for a while, and that's stopped the yen's appreciation. And now the trend is beginning to be on our side as well. Doesn't mean the action isn't choppy in here. It is. But I think that if you buy currencies, a lot of people have been buying the dollar against the Japanese yen, and that's done well recently. I just don't like the dollar myself, but for reasons I'll explain in a moment. But I think to buy the Australian dollar against the yen when not to chase it up, don't pay up, but on setbacks, I did that recently, and I think that's an opportunity. I'm watching that New Zealand Australian dollar rate, because the Australian has been quite firm against the New Zealand dollar in recent months, and something near the higher side of the range. If that relationship shifts in favor of the New Zealand dollar, in other words, the Aussie starts to weaken against the Kiwi, then I would use that as my preferred currency of choice against the yen. There's also euro yen. I'm not as bearish on the euro as most people are. I've described the currency situation largely as one of leapfrogging each other to the bottom here in sort of a slow motion race. So I want to short the currencies that have been stronger up until recently and buy the ones that have been weaker and appear to be bottoming out. A Swiss franc against the yen looks like an interesting one to me, which I might add. I've written a section on this in here today, which you can have a look at. And the US dollar, I want to short it and have shorted it, but only lightly, and it's not making me any money at the moment, which is a euphemism for saying it's costing me money. And so I'm going to be cautious in this. The yen is the better candidate here right now, but I don't think the dollar will be all that far behind, but we need to wait for the charts to signal that, or it may be more prudent to wait to do that. I like to anticipate, but that can be costly both in terms of adverse price moves and also time delays. But that's where I'm looking, really, to sell the yen and to sell the dollar eventually, and the currencies that I would be on the buy side of in these crosses would be the Australian dollar, the Swiss franc, probably the New Zealand dollar, possibly even the Canadian dollar, as a candidate, and also the euro. What else to look at here? Well, I think those are the I think I pretty well run through the markets in terms of opportunities as I see them overall. Bottom line, though, I say that people who are waiting for stock markets to bottom out, well, you've got to be patient and wait longer. Bear markets are terrifying, they're discouraging, they're boring, and unless you've been short, and that's pretty risky, I think, down here at these levels, as valuations keep improving. But as all history shows, at the end of the bear market, which usually is accompanied by appalling economic news, and my goodness, this is certainly no exception, but that then you get quite a significant recovery. And that is out there, whether that recovery commences this quarter, well, probably not, or next quarter or in the second half of 2009, a bit more likely, or sometime in 2010, I don't know. But the charts will show us, and evaluations improve in the meantime. That's no bad thing. But there are always opportunities in these markets, provided we are willing to look where the action is. It is still very much a trading environment, not a buy and hold environment in anything that I'm aware of. If there's anything that's perhaps buy and hold, it would be gold. But there are some useful swings and roundabouts in the yellow metal as well. So it's also a trading environment. And I think that's pretty much it for another week. So I would just say I hope you have a very relaxing and enjoyable weekend, and all the best.